Hey, you want that to go?
A terrorism allegation takeout begins our takeout segment this morning. Scott Shane joins us from our partner, the New York Times. He's the national security reporter for the Times. And Scott, we've already had a couple of disturbing terrorism allegations. Most recently, the situation in Chicago, where an indictment was handed up on an individual who apparently assisted in the terrorism in Mumbai. This story this morning that you reported in the New York Times, five young Muslim American men detained in Pakistan, believed to be the same five men who vanished from Washington, D.C. last month, possibly part of some sort of recruiting effort of some sort of terrorist organization. Tell us the details as far as you know them.
Yes, it remains quite mysterious, and it's possible, certainly, that there is no terrorism or intended terrorism involved in this case. But it certainly has alarmed their families and their community. These are five guys ranging in age from upper teens to early 20s who disappeared at the end of November, and their families were alarmed, contacted local Muslim leaders and a Muslim organization, which met with them, and among other things, one of the families had discovered an 11-minute video made by their son in which he appeared to be saying goodbye, and it showed pictures of fighting, and he called on Muslims to defend their faith. And it was not exactly a martyrdom video, according to people who've seen it, but it was an alarming thing. So the families and the Muslim organization that was helping them went to the FBI. The FBI started looking for these guys, and it turned out they had flown to Pakistan, arriving on December 1st. We're told that one of the young men has a father who is associated with a banned Pakistani militant group, and that the five of them made their way eventually to the father's house, and that's where Pakistani police picked them up.
Wow. Scott Shane, final question. Any indication that the FBI has access to these individuals? We do understand that the Pakistani authorities are interrogating them.
That's right. The FBI had flown a team out there, and the FBI agents were on their way to try to talk to them yesterday.
All right, but again, no confirmation if they've actually been able to ask them questions, right?
No, I don't know that.
All right,
that's
certainly the thing to pick up and follow. Scott Shane, national security reporter for the New York Times, reporting on five young Muslim American men detained in Pakistan, the same five men, apparently, who vanished from Washington, D.C. last month.
And now we'll go to Atlanta. There is finally a winner in the mayor's race there. They've been waiting for a long time because this could have been, had had the potential to be, the first time Atlanta elected a white mayor in more than three decades. That didn't happen. Joining us now is Ricky Bevington from Georgia Public Broadcasting in Atlanta. The runoff was finally settled yesterday, Ricky. Was it a decisive victory for Kasim Reed?
It was a decisive victory in that, yes, he is the winner, Celeste, but guess what? He only beat Mary Norwood by 714 votes.
So what does that tell us about the voters in Atlanta? When you brought us reactions from people in the city, they said this race was not about race. Has that turned out to be the case?
It really seems to have. Well, I would like to say that it's the case. When you look at the maps of voting districts and how people voted, they largely voted along racial lines. However, Mary Norwood did about 20% in some of the primarily black districts. Kasim Reed did about 20% in the primarily white districts. There's one district, only one, where that was not the case. More white voters than black registered voters. 22% voter turnout. Kasim Reed beat Mary Norwood by 41 votes in a primarily white district. However, Kasim Reed says, regardless of how, if Atlantans think they are post-racial, I am going to be a post-racial administration. He did not use those words. I shouldn't put them in his mouth. But he does say he could consider bringing Mary Norwood into his cabinet.
Huh. I mean, you talked to him when we spoke with you last week about this race, that in some sense this is a confrontation between the Atlanta political machine and an attempt to, if not take power, share power. How does that look this morning?
This morning, it looks like all of the analysis is that the Atlanta political machine technically is churning forward as it always have with, as it always has with the continuation of an African American mayor. However, both candidates, and Kasim Reed included, campaigned on a message of change. Absolutely, even his African-American support want that change. So, yes, he's black, like he has, you know, like there's always been a black mayor since the 1970s. However, Kasim Reed says beyond race, there will be change, so that machine will see changes.
So, Ricky Bevington, the Secretary of State has launched an investigation into this mayor's race. Does that mean that this long, long-standing race that the Atlanta citizens must be so happy is finally over? Does that mean it's not really over?
It doesn't, Celeste. Yesterday, a group of Norwood supporters came to the Secretary of State's office. They said, we have 1,300 votes from people registered at public housing projects and apartments that were raised. They no longer exist. These people voted in the original election, not the runoff, the general election, November 3rd. But yesterday, they apologized, Celeste. They said, oops, they didn't vote. They were only registered. Only about 30 or 40 people actually voted, so it wouldn't make a difference.
Well, it's finally over then. Kasim Reed, the winner in Atlanta. Mrs. Ricky Bevington joins us. She's the executive producer and host from Georgia Public Broadcasting.
Coming up, President Barack Obama expected to speak, deliver his lecture at Oslo City Hall, where he's accepting the Nobel Peace Prize. Looking at some of the wide shots there, he's the only African-American there. I mean, it looks like a choir meeting in Duluth, Minnesota at Oslo City Hall. But in any case, a very important moment in history. We will have full coverage. What do you think Barack Obama needs to do to deserve this award that he's getting at the beginning of his presidency? 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org.
Or if you're a choir member in Duluth, Minnesota, please
send
call
me
in.
Hate mail, yes.